Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, Freddie Freeman is a Dodger. It finally happened. There's a lot to unpack. There's lineup. There's what's going to happen in the future. How'd they get him? What does it mean? All that good stuff. Freddie Freeman's a Dodger. We're talking about it. So keep it locked on, Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans. It's real. Freddie Freeman is a Dodger. We're here to talk about it. This is Locked On Dodgers. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And remember, this show is free and available where we get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching Locked On Dodgers. For an easier way to get a hold of us, just subscribe in all those places and never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. You know we weren't going to miss today. I'm Ben Samperio, Treasuring Fiends. That's Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. And we are lifelong Dodger fans just like you, which means we are very excited to do this episode. And we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So while we're not quite insiders, which is good, we also are able to bring you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So go ahead and subscribe, do follow, whatever you need to do to hear us every day. And let's talk Dodgers. Let's talk Freddie Freeman. Jeff, we got later in the night on, well, not too late, but later in the day on Wednesday, it was said that Freddie Freeman was close with the Dodgers again. John Morosi, who's been one of the main guys tweeting the entire time in terms of Freddie Freeman talks, he had it. He went from there in deep discussions to some money involved to their finalizing. Jim Bowden also hopped on and kind of made it seem like it was a done deal. But it seemed like we were all kind of collectively waiting for Jeff Passan or even maybe Ken Rosenthal. Ken Rosenthal did say, did kind of confirm that they were talking, did confirm some numbers that we kind of saw. And then Kylie McDaniel and Jeff Passan ended up coming through with that final stamp of approval that we needed. Although at that point, everyone was kind of running with it. But Freddie Freeman's a Dodger, 6 years, $162 million. And the Dodgers added another weapon to their lineup, Jeff. And they got another number five that's going to sit in the middle of that lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't official till Passan, and in this case, McDaniel tweeted it out together. That's what made it real. And you know, it was fun. We had, I don't know, close to an hour probably of that refreshing Twitter constantly, and maybe even an hour and a half. I don't know. Time stops when you're in that situation. But, you know, like it was exciting for me because Freddie Freeman is one of my favorite players. He has been ever since. I mean, I first saw him play live back in 2012, which was like his second or third season. I saw him hit a home run and I don't know, just something about Freddie Freeman I've always liked. I like his, he just seems like a nice guy. And he's so good at hitting a baseball. And when, you know, you and I have been talking all offseason about, you know, I've seen in a bunch of articles tonight how like everybody assumed he was going to go back to the Braves. And I've been like, no, why not come to the Dodgers? He's a Southern California native. The Dodgers have more money. And I know the Braves are the defending world champs, but the Dodgers give him a better chance of winning another World Series. You know, that's just the way it is. And so it's made sense to me all along, but I kept thinking, am I just deluding myself? Am I just wishful thinking? But no, it made sense. And in the end, John Heyman even reported that Freeman had a bigger offer elsewhere, but that he chose to come to the Dodgers. I don't know if that's true. It seems like we hear that all the time. And so there's no way to really know. We know it wasn't the Rays offering a bigger offer than that. And maybe what he's saying is there is a bigger average annual value or something, but in the end, you know, he came to the Dodgers, and I don't know, it's like, is this really real?
Yeah, I mean, right away I go back to thinking of just how spoiled we've been in recent years. I mean, the Dodgers have made the playoffs a bunch of years in a row. In that span, they've acquired players like Manny Machado, Yu Darvish, you know, Trey Turner, Max Scherzer, Mookie Betts. I mean, those have all come via trade. You know, last year the Trevor Bauer signing didn't quite work out on or off the field to this point, but it was, you know, signing a guy coming off a Cy Young. This year they're signing a guy coming off a World Series championship, as a MVP in 2020, and a guy that, you know, brings a lot of different vibes than the big signing from last offseason, obviously, you know, brings, you know, more of the what seems to be the Dodger mentality, you know, got the family. We're replacing Charlie Freeman with, or we're replacing Knox Kelly with Charlie Freeman in terms of a cute son that can, you know, provide some content throughout the year. So it just seems like a win all around. And yeah, for Freddie, you know, whatever it was, and we may never know, or maybe we might find out here in the next few days, whatever it was, whether he felt disrespected by the Braves or whether, you know, overplayed his hand with the Braves, whatever the case is, you know, it really seemed like Freddie was kind of expecting to go back to the Braves and just, you know, maybe using some of these other teams for leverage. And then the Braves said, okay, we'll go get Matt Olson. And they got Matt Olson, and then they extended him for 8 years. So then, after, you know, after they traded for Matt Olson, and you know, we thought the deal or Freddie might end up coming here. And then I, like I said, I think that derailed kind of what his whole process was. And he kind of had to start not from ground zero, but, you know, kind of start from the bottom again, figure out, okay, who's really into me now, who, you know, who's bringing me what, blah, blah, blah. We saw the Red Sox name, we saw the Rays named, and then we saw the Padres thrown in and the Blue Jays trade for Matt Chapman. So that theoretically took them out. We saw Yankees the whole time. Yankees signed Anthony Rizzo. That theoretically took them out. You know, the Red Sox have been trying to be under luxury tax and not pass. So we didn't think they would really put up the money. The Rays have never kind of put up that money. So at the end of the day, it all signs pointed to Dodgers. And from, you know, Bob Nightingale reported first that it was 4 years, 4 years high and average annual value. I don't know, you know, obviously Bob Nightingale, you take what his report is with a grain of salt, but if that was true, then 6 years is a lot different than that. Obviously the AAV went down. Dodgers were comfortable with it. I think the DH has maybe a little bit to play in that. And also the fact that if he's good for four of those years, it's already a win anyway. So yeah, it's good on the Dodgers end, good for Freddie Freeman. I mean, he's coming home. Obviously I think he grew up closer to the Angel Stadium, but that's not really a team out here that anyone considers coming home to. So Freddie Freeman, welcome. And I'm excited.
Yeah. I grew up closer to the Angel Stadium too. And yeah. You know, I went to a lot of Angel games. Those are fun. You know, yeah. You get to be the only baseball fan in the stadium. And you know, it's Freddie Freeman is a Dodger. There's so much to talk about with this, what it means for the lineup, what it means for, you know, and like you said, we may never know what any of those other offers were. We don't even know. We may never know what the Dodgers' first offer was, because the fact is, you know, a lot of people were saying earlier on Wednesday that maybe Freeman's team overplayed their hand. You know, once everybody started, you know, the Blue Jays traded for Matt Chapman, everybody started going other directions. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if what he ended up signing for is roughly what the Braves had offered him. But, you know, I don't care. The Dodgers got Freddie Freeman, and it seems like, I think Andrew Friedman is the breaking news. Andrew Friedman is good as his job. I think he, man, they can build a team, and this is some team.
Yeah. I mean, it's patience. And from what we've seen and what we've known, you know, Andrew Friedman's always won with patience. He's been able to, like I said, waited this part out. And the other part of that, which makes it possible, is that the Dodgers are never desperate. The Dodgers are never desperate for, did they need Freddie Freeman? No, they still were going to put almost an all-star out at every position without Freddie Freeman. But now they have him. And now, you know, there's other stuff that we'll get into in a little bit of what that means for other players on the roster and kind of, like I said, lineup and everything else. But the Dodgers have been able to build a winner, have been able to sustain that winner by filling it with prospects, by using prospects to get other players, by getting players to stick around. Mookie Betts gets traded here, sticks around. You know, Trey Turner, who knows about that at this moment, but, you know, he had at least one more year, so he's here for one more year. Then now they convince Freddie Freeman to come over here, and it's just a matter of, like I said, we're spoiled right now, and, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about, you know, baseball needs a salary cap and everything else, which is interesting to me, because every time you talk about the Dodgers, yeah, well, first of all, yeah, that, but when you talk about the Dodgers, it's like, oh, they'll choke in the playoffs. So, like, what do you care if they're going to choke in the playoffs anyway, if that's your thought process? What do you care if they have this lineup? What does it matter if they're not going to win at all? And it's weird, because football has a salary cap, and what, Tom Brady won 7 rings. He has more rings than any other franchise. He has more rings than any other franchise. And in basketball, for a while there, it was either the Spurs, Lakers, Heat, and then a couple random winners for like a long period of time. So salary cap doesn't necessarily bring parity. And I don't understand if you can't have both sides. You can't say Dodgers choke and baseball needs salary cap.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots more to talk about. Read us an ad.
Yeah, let's talk about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow has a book. And if you are ready to discover your purpose and leave an impact wherever you go, Mission Possible, written and read by New York Times bestselling author and athlete Tim Tebow, encourages you to find your inspiration, pursue your purpose, and create a life for yourself that counts. Ignite a new spark in your life through this new inspirational listen. Mission Possible by Tim Tebow is available everywhere audiobooks are sold. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you want to check out another podcast, check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. That's also free and available wherever you get podcasts. But speaking of Mission Possible, Mission Possible, Dodgers get Freddie Freeman. That's happened. And, you know, you look at the lineup top to bottom, especially now with the DH, and it just look, you know, AJ Pollock, who was one of the better Dodgers last season, is maybe the weak point at this, you know, at this time. Or Cody Bellinger, if he doesn't, you know, find his way again, he is the weak point, and he was just an MVP 2 years ago and still brings you gold glove defense. So, you know, I put out for my work for walk off, I put out the thing best lineup in baseball ? With like a projected lineup. And a lot of people were saying, oh, all you did, you know, this was the same lineup as last year, except Freddie Freeman is in there for Seager. And in theory, yes. But this year, it's a DH, so you're getting an extra bat in there, which means you're getting an extra all-star caliber bat in there. And, you know, while Seager is very good, him and Freddie Freeman are two different types of hitters.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I talked about in yesterday's episode, a big part of what makes this Dodgers lineup potentially better than last year's is last year's Dodgers lineup was missing guys all year long. You know, Corey Seager missed, what, 3 months with that broken hand? Cody Bellinger was on the IL 84 different times. Mookie Betts had his hip issue. You know, even when he was in the lineup, he was diminished and he was out of the lineup some. And so, you know, the just health, even average health, you know, we used to joke last year, you know, pray for neutral luck, I think was our slogan, because the Dodgers just had such bad luck and they won 106 games. And so even with neutral luck, they're going to have some injuries. Sure. You know, people are going to spend some time on the injured list. But with what they have put together, I mean, the only guy in this lineup, in this starting nine, who hasn't made an all-star team is Will Smith. And, oh, yeah, he's one of the top two catchers in baseball. And you know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, A.J. Pollock is past his prime. He's probably not going to make another all-star team. But he was a really, really good hitter last year. And, you know, his defense – struggled at times. Well, guess what? There's a DH. So some days you'll have Chris Taylor in left instead. And he's really, really good defensively. He's also an all-star. You know, Cody Bellinger, like you got Bellinger and Mookie and Freeman, who are all former MVPs. You've got, you know, everything about this team. You've got guys in their prime. You've got guys on the back end of their prime. And, you know, who knows what Freddie Freeman is going to be 6 years from now. But right now for 2022 through 2024, I'd say he definitely makes the Dodgers better. And as far as hitting goes, I mean, he like you said, he's a different kind of player than Corey Seager. But I don't think it's a downgrade offensively to go from Corey Seager to Freddie Freeman. And defensively, they play different positions. Freeman plays first base better than Seager plays shortstop. You know, shortstop is a more valuable position. But, you know, I love Corey Seager, and this is not to diminish Corey Seager, but I feel like offensively, yeah, this is a better team than last year for all those reasons we mentioned.
Yeah, and even though even if that potential lineup was similar to the one that was in the playoffs, you know, it's still different in general because, you know, they're going to have a full season of Trey Turner and a full season of Freddie Freeman, where last year that spot was, you know, a little bit, you know, well, I mean, a full season of Seager, but now you're getting a full season of Trey Turner, full season of Freddie Freeman. The big thing, too, with Freeman coming in is it pushes Max Muncy to second base, in theory, which is huge only in the sense of, you know, Chris Taylor got more work at their base last year. It's something that's probably going to happen more this year. Justin Turner might be, you know, not a full-time DH, not necessarily, you know, anything like that, but he might be the guy that gets maybe 2 days at DH a week or something like that, depending on how they feel. You know, his defense has gone down a little bit. You know, he came in last year really, you know, really good. He had the whole 30 diet. He started off the year hot, got a little, you know, faded toward the end a little bit, then hurt his hamstring. You know, just being able to say Justin Turner, all you got to do is hit, is going to, you know, that's going to change things. And like I said, they'll be able to play defensive matchups if they want Taylor in outfield or Lux at second base or whatever the case is. It's a lot more fluidity, and as always, and it's a lot better too, because now you're pushing Gavin Lux. So at this point, if he's not traded, which we can talk about right now, you're pushing him to a role where he is either coming off the bench or in a platoon type role, which is a lot better than, you know, we've seen in the last few days. We've seen Billy McKinney sign a minor league deal. We've seen Sheldon Noisy get claimed off waivers, and we've seen Steven Souza sign a minor league deal. Three guys that at different points of last year were taking big at bats for the Dodgers. And now you're replacing that with Gavin Lux at bats. Now you're replacing that with Edwin Rios coming back at bats, you know, Hanser Alberto even. And, you know, who knows, maybe they do go after somebody else. They were linked to Soler. I don't think that's still something on the table. But the other part, too, is we just saw Jack Peterson sign for $6 million with the Giants, which, you know, not a big part of today's show, obviously. But if there's something else out there in that realm of that cheap for a guy that comes off the bench and can hit, you know, that's something the Dodgers might explore as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Dodgers are still going to give guys days off. The DH helps with that to keep them fresh. But they'll still give guys days off. But like you said, the guys who will take those at bats are Gavin Lux and Edwin Rios and, you know, Matt Beatty or whoever. That it's legit major leaguers as of right now. And as long as they're not decimated by injuries, it will continue to be real major league hitters, you know? And so, my son asked me earlier today, he's like, who do you think is going to be the Dodgers DH? And I told him it's going to be a lot of people. And I would guess that Justin Turner will have the most games at DH. And then AJ Pollock would be second, just simply because of for defensive reasons, and you know, age and legs and all that too. But you know, the fact that you do have Gavin Lux who can come in, he can play second, he can play short, he can play the outfield when he's getting a start. You've got, you know, obviously Chris Taylor can play anywhere. The Dodgers the last several years have had so much positional flexibility that really does make it. There's nobody, you know, Freddie Freeman wants a day at DH. You know, okay. Max Muncy, guy who was the best defensive first baseman in baseball last year. Why don't you go play first base? Okay. You know, it's crazy what they have. And it's not just offensively. It's a very well put together defensive team too, especially because the shift still exists for this year, which will help Muncy at second base.
Yeah. And as we saw, you know, no knock on Seager, but, you know, Trey Turner is going to get to a lot more balls than Seager did. Everyone else gets strengthened all the way around. Like I said, if Justin Turner has that less games at their base, he was negative defensively last year. So it helps in all aspects. Another quick point too, is just of how this helps this, you know, pitching wise, you know, if the offense in theory should be putting up 5-6 runs a game for the most part, your starting pitching gets aided a little bit with that. You know, the Dodgers bullpen's pretty strong. Starting pitching is still where it's a little bit weary. We'll get into, you know, if they're going to address that now that they have a little bit of flexibility. But, you know, this offense putting up 5-6 runs, in, you know, as it should for most nights, or at least average, that's going to help out with starting pitching a lot more and, you know, maybe allow the Dodgers to get a little more length or be able to, you know, go with some guys early in the game that, you know, maybe they wouldn't trust in other situations. So last year we saw the Dodgers in a lot of close games, a lot of pressure cookers. Early on, they were losing all those one-run games, and they started winning more of those one-run games. And, you know, I just don't see there being a lot of one-run games if everybody stays healthy in this lineup.
Yeah, with this lineup, you can afford to say, okay, Tony Gonsolin, we're going to give you 30 starts. Let's see how it goes, if that's the route they choose to go. You can even say, hey, Mitch White and Andre Jackson, you guys are going to get 15 each. You know, or 10 each until Dustin May comes back, if you want to throw him in the rotation, or until they make a move at the deadline, if somebody's available. But yeah, they can afford to do that. You know, maybe probably don't want to get too deep into the rotation talk, because that kind of digs into what else they might do the rest of this spring training / off season. But yeah, so maybe in a minute we will talk about what those rotation options are and what we expect to see there.
Yeah. But first, let's talk about Rock Auto, because this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. And what is Rock Auto? Well, they're a family business, an online family business that's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They are the master and kings of the auto parts. Why would you want to go to an actual store where they can't they can't stock. There's way too many cars, way too many makes, way too many models. They can't stock what you need. They're gonna have to order it anyways, and then they're gonna try to get you to go back to the store when you need to pick up your order because they want you to try to buy more things from them or try to, you know, whatever. Rock Auto, you don't have to worry about that. You go to rockauto.com, you find what you need, you get it delivered directly to you for cheaper pricing, sometimes up to 100% cheaper than at a chain store or car dealership. Get it shipped to you, and then you do with it what you want from that point. But Rock Auto has reliably low prices for every single customer. They got a nice website that's easy to use. So go to Rock Auto today. Check out all the parts available for your car or truck. And then their How Did You Hear About Us box, let them know Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Find us wherever you get podcasts or on YouTube. We're here every Monday through Friday. Now, let's get back into it. Freddie Freeman is a Dodger, in case you missed the first 20 minutes of this episode. But now you kind of shift towards, okay, what else does it mean? And what else can the Dodgers do to improve their team? You add a guy like Freddie Freeman. Mentioned earlier, he's pushing one guy out, which at this point would be maybe Gavin Lux, into less of an everyday role than he might have had beforehand. You know, does that open up Gavin Lux for trades? Does that open up other guys in the farm system for trades now that you're going to have, you know, Freddie at first base for the next 4 years? And if you keep Muncy around, he can, in theory, play second or DH or whatever the case is. Jeff, we've seen Sean Manea and Frankie Montas from the A's get mentioned as guys that are going to get traded. None of those guys move the needle too much for me, but Luis Castillo was a guy that moved the needle, but now the Reds say they're not going to trade him. The Reds decided to take on salary today, so I don't think they know what they're doing. In other news, the Rockies signed Chris Bryant today to a $180 million deal, so I don't know what they're doing, but I think it's still a matter of, unless you find something right now that's going to improve your starting pitching, I think you go what you got and kind of wait till the deadline till things shake out a little bit more. But there's other ways to handle that as well, if you haven't any ideas.
Yeah, you know, at this point, I'm hoping Lux stays. You know, I've always been aboard the Lux train. I really do think Gavin Lux is going to be very good. And the more I think about it, you know, because they will still be doing days off, having 10 guys for 9 positions is not that bad. You know, that's still plenty of room for each guy to get 148 starts or whatever. And, I probably could have done the actual math, but I didn't. So that's okay.
A math podcast.
Yeah. There's room for Lux to get starts. And even if he's the odd man out and only gets 120 starts, you know, that's okay. And, the Dodgers might be able to go out and get one of those pitchers just using that prospect depth. You know, when I was talking to Keith Law, one of the big points was, it's not just that they have some good prospects at the top. They've got a lot of guys who could be good. And frankly, they have more guys than they're going to have room for. And so if they could get a Frankie Montas for prospect depth, the A's have done pretty well so far on their trades. I don't think it would be painless to get Montas, but I think they could do it. And I like Frankie Montas. I think he has turned into a really good pitcher. You know, obviously he came from the Dodgers to the A's after first he came from the White Sox. It's kind of funny. Yeah. He debuted with the White Sox and then came to the Dodgers, never did pitch in the big leagues with the Dodgers, went to the A's for Rich Hill and some other weasel looking dude. And but he has turned into a really solid pitcher. His 2020 was bad, but 2020 was weird. In the 2019, he was really good. And last year he was really good, finished sixth in the Cy Young Award voting in the American League. And, I would love to have Frankie Montas as a fourth or fifth starter, but also, like we were talking about a little bit ago, and all of this kind of disregards the fact we don't know what's going to happen with Trevor Bauer. We don't know. And that could affect things in two different ways. That affects the starting rotation, also affects the payroll, because it was Rosenthal, I think, who said it's unlikely that any suspension for Bauer would be retroactive, which means that if he is suspended, that's part of the $45 million that Bauer is owed this year. So if he was suspended for half a season, that's $22.5 million that the Dodgers have available suddenly, which could affect things even as far as who they're willing to take on in a trade or whatever. But especially it affects the starting rotation. And, because honestly, if Bauer is going to be in the rotation for most of the year, Kershaw, Buehler, Julio, Bauer, and Gonsolin, that is not a bad rotation, especially like we said, with this offense. I think you could trust, I think just that rotation and this offense, I think that's a 110 win team.
Yeah, definitely. And another name just to kind of add to it, just because he had an article written about him, David Price, he's still in the mix. You know, we mentioned him as a potential candidate, as a, you know, a roster crunch in a pinch if they really needed it. But he said he's, you know, healthy, feeling good, and going to fight for a spot too. So I think, but, you know, for me, I think last year they didn't trust some of these guys enough and didn't trust their offense enough, you know, and which was rightfully, for a while the offense was, you know, not that great at various stretches last year. But, you know, Mitch, why you go back and look at his overall season last year, and, you know, it was pretty decent. He had decent numbers, good enough for a fifth starter, definitely. And I think, you know, I do think that they hurt themselves by doing so many bullpen games. You know, at one point having two spots in the rotation, bullpen games, you know, Buehler and Julio threw a lot, and then had to throw even more in short rest in the postseason. I think it all kind of added up last year. And I think this year, you know, obviously the options being limited to only five, that's going to help a little bit with, you know, just trusting guys. You know, let Mitch White throw every fifth day. Okay, one day he implodes and you know, only throws two innings. Well, that's what you were doing last year anyways with bullpen games. So I think they have enough right now to kind of leave it as is. Obviously, the Bauer situation is either going to add another frontline starter in theory if they end up keeping him, or it'll, you know, push him away. But then you got, you know, Andrew Heaney, four starter, and then you got a bunch of guys that can be the fifth starter. And I think that's where it sits right now. I think they kind of leave it, let the offense hopefully do its job. The bullpen's really good. And, you know, trust your guys. You know, you develop Mitch White, you developed Andre Jackson, you develop Ryan Pepiot. At some point, they're all going to need to be making starts for the Dodgers this year. So, you know, might as well just let it happen.
Yeah. And you know, the other big unspoken part is health. You know, Clayton Kershaw, we can't expect 32 starts from him. I don't know if we should expect 26 or 21 or 15, but you know, that's going to be an issue. But like you said, I mean, I had forgotten to even mention Andrew Heaney, you know, when we're talking about these options until you brought him up. It's like the Dodgers have options, and it's maybe just our nature as spoiled Dodger fans right now to want more. But the one reason I think there are some trades coming is simply because of that roster crunch you mentioned. You know, right now, they've signed Hanser Alberto that hasn't been made official yet, and they've signed Freddie Freeman that's not official yet. Their current 40-man roster is full. Now, Dustin May is an easy one. Transfer him to the 60-day injured list. That opens up one spot. But you're going to have, just for the two guys we know they're signing, they're going to have to open up a roster spot. And like we talked about the other day, there's not any major D candidates. You know, who was it? Darian Nunez was a possibility. You know, a few guys like that, but it seems a lot more likely that they might, you know, we talked about their very left-handedness on the bench. Seems like maybe Matt Beatty, you know, trade him because he could have some value. They're not going to get a Frankie Montas for Matt Beatty, but you know, you could get some sort of something anyway. And I think maybe that frees up Beatty to be successful somewhere else. There's a lot of options, but it seems like just for roster reasons, they're going to have to make a trade or two.
Yeah, and then that's what it's going to come down to. I guess if they knew more about Canely and Ferguson, exactly where they are, they couldn't, you know, maybe go on the 60-day, which would put them really deep into the season compared to where they were, you know, where they should be. So I don't see that happening. So yeah, it might be a matter of a couple guys get, you know, teared off. You know, maybe David Price does end up getting, maybe they eat that deal and try to get a little bit of something for David Price as well. I mean, it's very possible. There's a lot of options for them to do, but yeah, it does seem like they're going to have to do it because even during the season, as we saw, you know, with injuries and everything else, they kind of need two spots that are a little flexible. And, you know, as good as it is to have 40 guys on your 40-man roster that are worthy of being on your 40-man roster, you also can't operate the way the Dodgers operated the last few years without having, you know, that 39th and 40th spot a little more flexible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's so much so much more to talk about just with Freddie Freeman. You know, that we kind of hinted at what this might mean for the future payroll and the ability to extend other guys or to re-sign other guys. You know, we'll talk more about that maybe tomorrow, sometime soon. My teaser is I'm not nearly as worried about it as Twitter seems to be. you know, we didn't at all, a lot of stuff, other stuff in baseball, we didn't get to talk about today because Freddie, you know, you mentioned Jock Peterson, you know, that's a big deal. We'll talk about Mookie Betts had some interesting comments on MLB Network, a ton of stuff going on to talk about. And just underscores what we were talking about last week, how much nicer it is to do a daily Dodgers podcast when there's actual Dodgers news to talk about.
Yeah, especially when one of them is Freddie Freeman. But yeah, if you are one of those,
wait, what happened with Freddie Freeman?
Yeah, he's on the Dodgers now, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Cool. We should do a podcast about that.
Yeah. If you are worried about the Dodgers' future financial flexibility, go look at their financial commitments in 2024 and then come back and talk to me. And you know, you'll see why it's not that big a deal right now. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Freddie Freeman for deciding to join the Dodgers. Thank you to Andrew Friedman for just continuing to do what Andrew Friedman does. And you know, thank you to the Dodger fans. I know, you know, we, I'm not going to say we deserve this, but you know, we also don't not deserve it. You know, there's a lot, there's going to be a lot of people talking smack and crying and, you know, complaining, and just ask them, you know, why is your owner being cheap? You know, why is, it's not, we're not paying these guys. It's not our fault. Don't come at me. You know, go
for, and go. Also, some dude on Twitter said that every Dodger fan is a fat Mexican. And I think this podcast proves that some Dodger fans are fat white people too. Thank you very much. Only 50% of this podcast is fat Mexicans.
Yeah, Braves fans are interesting. And I'm just going to leave it at that if you want to go search on Twitter for Braves fans. But yeah, Freddie Freeman's a Dodger. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about some of the stuff Jeff just mentioned. You know, maybe the Dodgers make some other moves. They do have to make this move official. So there might be one, at least one roster move that gets made. And just anything else that we can think about in terms of the Dodgers. It feels like we've already had a full week of episodes just talking, you know, having stuff to talk about every day and kind of running it over into the next episode. But we got more stuff to come in on tomorrow's episode. So make sure to check it out. Make sure to check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He does shows over there that covers all of MLB if you need more baseball fix in your life. But in terms of us, you can remember we're here every weekday morning. You can find us where we get podcasts and on YouTube. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts for anything you want to comment or have a concern or whatever you have, send it there. You can also send it via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can send it via voicemail or text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers, and remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye, Freddie. Love you.